The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors and U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish.
Hand off. Dickey, he walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
Ferguson Reynolds says snap it. Does. Places it. Kick is on the way up. It's long enough. It looks. Goal! Atticus Sambenton has given Oregon the lead.
Mendoza in the backfield. Back to throw. Pressure comes again. Throws it to the end zone. And the catch is made. Is it a touchdown? Touchdown!
It's feeling more like survival missions for several teams in the hunt for a playoff bid. For the most part, the likes of Oregon, Indiana, and even Vanderbilt won in last-second fashion, while Texas Tech removed another team from the unbeaten ranks in BYU, and doing it in fine fashion, I might add. Again, thanks to Learfield for our cuts. So here we are with little change in the rankings, but a few teams are probably on pins and needles as we have three more weeks of the regular season remaining. A lot more battles between those teams in the running for a spot, including a couple this weekend.
I can't watch. I've got YouTube TV.
Oh, no.
I did see some of it and watch some highlights, and there are other ways to find it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Teams like Vandy, they got to keep on winning. They've got a chance, but they're on the outside looking in. Indiana's basically a lock. They just beat Penn State 0-6 in the Big Ten this year.
I did not know that.
0-6.
Wow.
The committee's fine with the win. It was a great comeback, at least the final drive. It was not a very good game for Indiana. But I will say this. To Gus Johnson, it was unbelievable!
Well, Gus doesn't get excited.
He's not on ESPN.
So. It is not on ESPN. Well, not much changed in this week's college football playoff poll, although the Red Raiders made a small move, jumping ahead of Ole Miss for the number 6 slot. Top 5 remain the same. Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Alabama, and Georgia at 1-5. Miami now has a leg up among ACC teams, holding the league's highest ranking at number 15, although that's a spot below where Virginia was last week, and South Florida is the first group of 5 team to make the poll after the bunch was shut out last week.
Yeah, there's a way that the group of 5 could get 2 in. We've been talking about this, that one of these Power 4 teams might not be ranked higher than one of those group of 5s. I look at Texas Tech's jump over Ole Miss as an impressive win that they had with BYU. I guess a victory over a top 10 team would trump a win, even though it was very dominant over an FCS school. At least the committee thought so. They moved them ahead of them. And, well, I mean, Ole Miss is okay as long as they take care of business. Remember where they were last year in this spot?
They blew it.
It was a team that they're playing this weekend.
Yeah,
that had something
exactly.
To do with that.
I wonder if they'll have a little different attitude this year. Well, it's probably not posh to say Saturday's matchup between Florida and Ole Miss, the Kiffin Bowl. But too many media outlets have attempted to link the Rebels coach to a number of vacancies, but the most prominent seems to be that he's headed to Gainesville after the season ends. Of course, it may be a while since, as we just said, the Rebels are in the running for a playoff spot and maybe playing in December. Still, the rumors surround Kiffin and his next stop in the coaching ranks are spiraling around this game. And there is a reason for that. Kiffin is in high demand thanks to his ability to work quarterbacks, draw up plays, and maybe more importantly, construct a roster suitable to be competitive in the SEC. Former coaching legend Max Howell explains.
Lane Kiffin stayed at the NFL level, what, 3 or 4 years. He learned from inside how the system works, because the NIL and the money situation is much closer to the NFL than it is to the SEC or traditional college football games. So he's made the transition much easier. That he didn't have to hire a general manager to run that part of the program. He is the general manager of that program because he's got the most experience and can do that. And it's evident. Look at his program. You know, I don't know how many people follow that, but, you know, he sent like 7 people to the NFL last year out of the year before's portal draw that he drew in. Well, you know how many he brought in this year out of the portal? 40. He brought in 40 more players.
Well, Ole Miss is aiming for its first playoff bid, and more than likely will get it with a win Saturday. I don't even know if they'll need a win in the Egg Bowl. Florida, meanwhile, is trying to become eligible but needs to win Saturday, plus a win over Tennessee and Florida State to go bowling. In other words, win out.
Yeah, there's some positives with that for Florida, as well as the fact that they might be able to get to Kiffin quicker if they can court him not being in the playoff. Kiffin is the new era coach, and Max talked about it. I mean, the way he works the portal, that's why he's so highly sought after by teams, we expect, by programs like Florida and possibly LSU and who knows who else. And he's won in this league, the SEC. It's just where, you know you got a guy that's a proven product. There's a lot of good coaches out there that have won a lot of football games. Some that have come to this league, as we say, the SEC, to die. Ask Brian Kelly about that, by the way. He's still trying to get his $54 million back from LSU.
Yeah.
And I said, is a negotiation possible? I said, no, I'll take the full amount.
It's funny. We weren't going to talk about that this week, but since you brought it up, what is going on with that? What is LSU trying to pull
here? If you cut somebody loose, and I know they're saying he wasn't officially terminated or whatever, you owe him the money. You made the deal beforehand.
Yeah.
Pay the man.
They did hire an interim coach, right?
Yes.
Okay. So in my opinion, they cut him loose. Newsflash. Speaking of coaches, we did not have a coach in the FBS ranks lose his job this week. It's the first time since September 14th, or week three, that there hasn't been a coach fired. But the discussion of who is going where continues. Everybody has their list, complete with the odds on who goes where. The most interesting odds have Nick Saban as a favorite to get the job at LSU. Now, at least that was earlier in the week. I think that's changed again. But it's fun for the Tigers fans to dream, eh?
Yeah, that's just it. He's on the top of everybody's list. The GOAT, Nick Saban. Maybe he would come back to LSU. He's been there before. But this is not a fan poll. There were real odds in Vegas that put him up near the top. The thing is, I just don't see it. I'm sorry. Crazy things have happened. But Nick Saban, the whole reason he left kind of was the shift in college football about players prioritizing getting paid. I think he's find where he is now, even though I can't watch him.
By the way, you're invited to come over Saturday if you'd like. Just come on, bring your Lane Kiffin, bring your popcorn. Never let it be said that Pitt coach Pat Narduzzi is shy around the microphone. Proof again this week when he was asked about facing the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame and its effect on the ACC race.
But it's not an ACC game. I gladly get beat 103 or 110 to 10. In that game, they can put 100 up on us as long as we win the next two after that.
Well, point made, but it is for certain that if the Panthers lose Saturday, it will not affect their chances for the ACC championship. Then again, there are five teams in the league with one loss, including the Panthers. A couple of those teams are facing off this weekend with Duke taking on Virginia, but there's a big miss that conference with both spots in the championship game up for grabs. And, oh, by the way, Notre Dame doesn't need another loss on its record either, so they want to
definitely
go out
and win. No, I look at what Narduzzi said, and it did kind of surprise me. I don't know if he really meant it to come out the way it did, because this game's important. It may not be an ACC game, but the ACC's got to have a quality champion. I've heard of poor-mouthing before, but, well, that's not the way these coaches talk these days. Every game's important, regardless if it's a conference game or not.
Yeah, and this came out, I believe, during the unveiling of the new poll that there could be no ACC champion in this year's playoff. Think about it. Now, we had a situation last year where Clemson ended up with three losses, but we'll see. The rules are different now, right?
Yes.
All right, Alabama enters the game with Oklahoma with fresh memories of what happened in last year's game in Norman. The Tide was working its way up the polls, looked like a berth in the playoff, only to be derailed by the Sooners in a 24-3 blowout. Most agree that loss was the difference in being in and out of the 12-team field. There are three differences from last year. First, games in Tuscaloosa. Second, Alabama has a new quarterback in Ty Simpson. And third, so does Oklahoma and John Mateer, who is coming around after a hand injury a few weeks ago. The Sooners have won two of the three games they have played, and they have played themselves back into the playoff hunt. Big part of the resurgent has been Mateer, who Oklahoma play-by-play man Toby Rowland says has shown improvement this season.
Well, he's got experience. He certainly has confidence. He reminds a lot of people around here in his style of play. Certainly not saying he's as good as Baker Mayfield, but he has a look to him and a style that certainly resembles Baker when he was at OU. has a good arm, you know, is willing to take chances. But the thing that has been the biggest difference so far is his running ability. They have called some quarterback run, but a lot of it has been off scrambles when the pocket breaks down, and his ability to extend a play and make a play, either with his legs or by finding someone downfield while he's scrambling, has resulted in several big plays for Oklahoma. So he's been really good on the field, but he's been a tremendous leader for them as well.
Well, this happens to be homecoming at the Capstone this weekend. Not sure what effect that will have on Alabama or Oklahoma, but I'm sure the Sooners have taken that as disrespect.
It's about timing. I don't think they're saying, hey, Oklahoma, homecoming opponent, check that off. Yeah, no, I think it just worked out that way. Alabama respects Oklahoma, and why wouldn't they after what happened to them last year out at Norman? Here's a key stat with quarterbacks. You mentioned them. Ty Simpson has 21 touchdowns and one interception this year. John Mateer, 8 touchdowns and 7 picks. Another element, too, to think about, though, is running game. And Alabama is 14th in the SEC in rushing yards per game. Oklahoma's 2nd in stopping it at only 82 per game. Puts a little more pressure on Ty Simpson, but I think he's used to it this year.
I think he's probably pulled them out of the fire a couple of times, including a couple of times this past weekend against LSU. For the 3rd time in 2 years, Georgia and Texas meet in an important game in the SEC race. This time, the pressure might include a playoff berth. The Longhorns have lost twice, but one of those is to Ohio State. That was back on Labor Day. We remember that one? I do. The Bulldogs' lone blemish, September, lost to Alabama. It's quite possible neither one of these teams will be in this year's SEC championship game after facing off last year. Saturday may come down to quarterback play. Surprise, surprise. There has been improvement from both Gunnar Stockton of Georgia and the preseason Heisman Trophy winner, Arch Manning, who seems to be coming into his own after a slow start. Georgia coach Kirby Smart has watched from afar in his development. Having a relationship with the Manning family is part of the perspective, and he spoke about Manning's persona.
Yeah, it really wasn't about the celebrity nature or the last name. It was about the tape. You know, have a good relationship with their family. I've known his dad for a while, his uncle for a long time, and his grandfather. They've got a wonderful family, but it has nothing to do with his recruitment. His recruitment was based on he's athletic, he's fast, he's tall, he's intelligent, he's got composure, he's got arm. I mean, he can do it all. He can run the ball, he can throw the ball. In this day and age, you got to have a quarterback that can do both. He can, and I think he's got great composure. You know, he's not really affected by not many things. Even the way he's managed the hype and expectations of what he was supposed to be this year, none of that was. He didn't call any of that to come to him. It's just what the outside sources did, and it doesn't seem to have affected him. He knows he's got to grow and get better, and I think Sark's done a great job kind of bringing him up and allowing him to develop and get better.
The loser of this one is more than likely eliminated from the SEC championship game, but that might not matter at this point. Georgia is about a 6-point favorite between the hedges, which wasn't the case in either game last year.
Yeah, the bigger picture might be who's eliminated if they lose in the college football playoff. And to me, it's Texas. They've already got 2 losses, and I think not scheduling a cupcake, unfortunately, at the beginning of the year, could cost them. Of course, they played Ohio State. We remember that. But back then, Arch, not quite what we've seen the past few weeks, nor was Texas. Texas has improved. They're still very good defensively, and Arch has come around. And they've got to beat 2 teams in the top 5 over the next 3 weeks. Georgia did win the last 2. A lot of people thought Texas had the better team last year, and everybody seems to be saying it's Georgia's to lose this year.
But I will throw one caveat in there. If Georgia loses to Texas, that means they've got to beat Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech's also fighting for a playoff spot. And one more thing. It's not often you meet a 50-year-old college football player, but in Compton, California, there is a man trying to live a dream while training to enter the profession he's always dreamed of. Meet Orson Villalobos, who is in the process of earning a degree in kinesiology and coaching, while at the same time playing for the Compton College Coyotes. His goal is to one day coach his son by the time he's a freshman in high school, which is in about 6 years. Villalobos stated that his son, Orson II, gave him the idea of becoming a coach and playing for the Coyotes.
He said one day, I wish that I could have, you know, seen you play football. His friends told me that when people try to tackle him, they just bounce off of him.
The idea is never give up on a dream. Orson and his son are on their way to making it happen. For our U.S. Farm Raised Catfish Catch of the Week, we go back to Happy Valley, where the Hoosiers of Indiana needed this late touchdown pass in the back of the end zone from Fernando Mendoza to Omar Cooper for the winning score. Don Fisher of the Indiana Sports Network has the call.
Mendoza in the backfield, back to throw, pressure comes again, throws it to the end zone, and a catch is made. Is it a touchdown? Touchdown!
Remember, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. LindySports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
At Academy Sports and Outdoors, we carry all the gear you need from the top brands, all at prices you'll love. And now shopping at Academy is more convenient than ever. We offer free assembly on in-store purchases of most bikes and grills. Plus, free and easy curbside pickup on Academy.com orders. Want to save even more every day? Open and use an Academy Sports and Outdoors credit card to get 5% off future purchases when you're approved. Save time and money at Academy Sports and Outdoors. Remember, fun can't lose.
The Lindy's Football Report.
Here's Michael Butler with the Academy Sports Player of the Week.
Vanderbilt is in the midst of a historical season. With an 8-2 record, the Commodores are a college football playoff contender. Much of the program's success is due to the play of quarterback Diego Podbia. He proved his value again on Saturday in overtime with a win over Auburn. In an exciting back-and-forth game, the two teams combined for over 1,100 total yards. Podbia produced 489 of those. He completed 25 passes for 377 yards and three touchdowns with no interceptions. He ran for 112 yards and another score. His four-yard TD pass to tight end Cole Spence was the game winner. For his performance, Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Podbia is the Academy Sports and Outdoors Player of the Week.
Once again, we bring in Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and lindysports.com. Well, Lynn, we got a new poll on Tuesday, but not a whole lot of changes.
No, not a lot of surprises, I don't think, either. You've got the same situation that to some degree is going to clear itself because of who plays each other, is having the predominance of Big Ten and SEC teams in there. You know, a couple of teams that, you know, that traditionally would not be there, Texas Tech, Indiana. You know, very fortunate to be there due to a great catch that has already been talked about to help them at the very end of the ball game, or else they would not be as high as they were. I don't know that people expected Brigham Young to be up there that high. They have two teams from the state of Utah. But it's going to clear itself out. But, yeah, there are some people who normally wouldn't be there, but I don't think there's a lot of people surprised by what they saw when the new poll came out.
Did you take anything from Texas Tech moving ahead of Ole Miss?
Not really. No, I didn't. I mean, Texas Tech, I mean, they're impressive. They, you know, they're winning over the ranked teams that they play. Big 12 with Texas and Oklahoma gone is not as tough of a league in comparison to the SEC and the Big Ten. So, and I'm not putting them down at all. Texas Tech's a very good team, and you got, you know, two or three other decent teams in that league as well. But But I don't think it's anything against Ole Miss or anything, particularly for Texas Tech. They're both very good teams.
Yeah, and we're watching the volleying back and forth, and particularly about the ACC. This is going to be an interesting dynamic as we watch whether or not the ACC's conference champion will indeed get a bid. It could be another team in the league, but not the champion.
No, that's absolutely possible. It's possible they get nobody. Their highest ranked teams right now are ranked 15th and 16th and 19th and 20th. Well, only the top 12 get in. You know, right now Utah and Vanderbilt are ahead of Miami and Georgia Tech. So that you get those two teams the highest ranked in the ACC, and they're not even the next team out. I find it very hard not to put Georgia Tech in there. Miami, you know, maybe we'll see about that. Virginia is one of those teams that you're looking to say, where do these guys come from? Louisville's a good team, but they are down below the other two. I lean to think it's unlikely that they won't have. You know, when they set this thing up, Graham, they set it up so that each conference champion would have a road to get in there, so that every conference would be represented. And then there was the controversy of there being the Power Five with only four slots. Now they Power Four. It's set up that each conference champion would get there. However, it's got a caveat in there that says that if one of the conference champions does not make it in the top four, it's not automatic that they get in there. And that clause right there could be what leaves the ACC out. But I don't think the ACC will be omitted, but it could happen.
It could. All right, let's pick some games for the weekend. Notre Dame and Pittsburgh are meeting. This is not a conference game for Pitt, but they both need it as far as the playoff is concerned.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Notre Dame will win. I think they're a better team than Pittsburgh. Notre Dame is like ninth, I believe, in this, and Pittsburgh is down at number 24. And I know they're playing at Pitt. It's a home field advantage, but I like Notre Dame to win the game.
Southern Cal's in the mix, but they need a win against Iowa.
Yeah, and again, I'll take Southern Cal. They probably are a more explosive team, although Iowa has shown a little more offense lately. I would say that I'll take Southern Cal. The home field advantage helps them there as well.
All right, Alabama at home against Oklahoma. The Sooners also in the running for a possible spot in the playoff.
Yeah, I've not been giving Oklahoma, you know, enough credit, at least according to what their record is the last couple of weeks in picking these games. I think Alabama will win the game. Again, I think Alabama will win it by more than the line. But then I thought that about Tennessee last week too, didn't I? And Oklahoma won that ball game. But I think Alabama will win the game, and they could end up being, you know, a pretty wide margin maybe.
All right. How about Texas and Georgia?
I'm going to go against my theory. I'm going to take Texas to win that ball game. I know I always take the home team when they're pretty well matched, but Georgia is so lucky to be where they are right now. The Auburn game, the Tennessee game, the Florida game, all should have gone or could have gone the other way. Of course, there's Texas that lost to Florida. But I'm going to take Texas to pull the upset and win that ball game.
All right, how about your upset special?
I'm going to go with Memphis over East Carolina in the American Conference. Memphis is still one of four or five teams that are playing for that last CFP spot. So I'm going to take Memphis to pull the upset and beat East Carolina.
That's this week's Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. Brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors and U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish.